And so this morning we're at Matthew chapter 25, and we're looking at verses 14 to verse 30. Jesus said this, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them, and made another 5 talents. And likewise he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 others, saying, 'Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them.' His Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord.' He also who had received 2 talents came and said, 'Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them.' His Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord.' Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, 'Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid, and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours.' But his Lord answered and said to him, 'You wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown, and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers. And at my coming, I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Over the past few weeks, we have been looking at the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have been noticing particularly that we, as God's people, are to live our lives watchfully. We are to live circumspectly, keeping an eye on our lives, keeping an eye on the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember how five times in that previous chapter, Jesus told his disciples to do what? To watch. Why? Because you don't know the day or the hour that the Son of Man is going to come. That's right. This week we're going to continue to focus on the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we're not going to be looking at it from the vantage point of watching. We're going to be looking at it from the vantage point of working. Not of vigilance, but of diligence. Jesus is comparing in our story the kingdom of heaven to a man who goes away on a journey, and he leaves all of his goods with his servants, and he expects them to do something with everything that he's given to them. And he goes away. Do you know that Jesus Christ has given you so much to do? And he expects you to do something with what he's given you. He wants you to serve him. He wants you to work hard for him, diligently for him. And this morning, as we look at this parable, we're going to see 2 reasons why you have got to be working and serving the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, mind, and strength. And the first reason is this: because while he's gone, he entrusts his talents to every professing believer. While he's gone, he entrusts his talents to every single professing believer. I want you to imagine something for a moment. Imagine that you have a boss, and your boss calls you into his office and says to you, "Listen, I want you to take care of this money for me." And he hands you a bag, and in the bag are just all kinds of $1,000 bills. And he just hands it to you and says, "Listen, I want you to take care of this. I want you to do something with it while I'm gone." What would you do? You know, it's fun to imagine that kind of scenario, isn't it? But really, isn't that all we have to do is just imagine it? I mean, when would anything like that ever take place? When has anyone ever told you to come into their office and handed you a bag filled with $1,000 bills? Probably never. Because it doesn't happen, does it? But it has, actually. It has. Jesus Christ has given you all kinds of opportunities to serve Him. And that's what we see here. The kingdom of heaven, he says, is like a man traveling to a faraway country who has called his servants and delivered his goods to them. When we read that word talent, we often think of what? We often think of giftedness, don't we? We think of people who are amazingly gifted. We think of famous musicians and great athletes, people with immense abilities. But you know what? That's not what Jesus means when he talks about talents here. A talent was a unit of measurement in the first century. It was a measurement that was used to weigh things. It was a measurement of money in some cases. And so this man gives talents to his servants. He gives 5 to one. He gives how many to another? 2 to another. And he gives 1 to the third servant. 1 talent in that day was the equivalent of about 6,000 denarii. Now, a denarius was your average journeyman's wage for a day. Okay? So 6,000 average day payments, which means that in the case of this one man who got the 5 talents, he was given the equivalent of 20 years of wages. Just that man alone. The man gave 8 talents out to these 3 servants. And so this man was a man of some means, right? I mean, this man was wealthy. He was loaded. He had all kinds of money. But he's a wise man. Because while he's gone, he doesn't want his money to sit idle, does he? He wants the money to work for him. And more than that, he knows that not everybody can handle his money. And so he hands out his money disproportionately. He gives different amounts to the various servants, right? And so he's a wise man. And as it turns out, that's a very good thing. Because they do different things with his money, right? The first 2 servants, what do? Immediately we're told that they went out and they began to work the money. And they amassed twice as much as they were given. They didn't make a good investment and then sit back for the whole while. No, no, no. They kept on working day after day, amassing, doubling the amount that was originally given to them. The third servant is an entirely different matter, isn't he? What does he do? As soon as the master walks away, he says, "You know what? I don't think I ever wanted this responsibility. I didn't ask for this talent. I don't want to have to do anything with the master's money." And so what does he do? He goes to the shed, and he gets a shovel, and he starts digging in the ground, not too far now, because that would be too much work, just about a talent deep, right? And he puts the talent in the ground, and he covers it up, and he sits down with a piece of grass in his mouth, and he folds his hands, and his eyes close, and he begins to sleep. And life doesn't get any better than that, right? And that's servant number 3. And then the man comes. Without any warning, he just shows up. And he comes to settle accounts. Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like that. Do you know that every single believer has been talented? Every single person who claims to be a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ has been given a talent or talents. And what that means is this: you have all been given opportunities to serve the Lord Jesus Christ while He is gone. Do you know that? You may say to yourself, well, you know what, I don't feel like I've been talented. I don't feel like I have many opportunities to serve the Lord. But you know what? That doesn't change the fact, alter the fact that you have been, that the Word of God says that you have that opportunity. You say, I don't see that. I don't see these opportunities. Doesn't alter the fact, friends, every single professing believer has been given an opportunity to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we see here. But differently. Because the Lord doesn't give out His talents to everybody in the same amount, right? He gives out different amounts. There's a disproportion in the distribution of the opportunities, right? Some get 5 talents. Others get how many? 2. And some get what? 1. They're not equally dispersed. Some get greater opportunities to serve the Lord. Isn't that true? Isn't that what we see right here? The Lord entrusts every believer, every professing believer, with differing opportunities to serve Him in this life. And He gives according to ability. According to ability. That's what Jesus says here. He gave to each according to their own ability. And what that means, friends, it means this. It means that God has made you exactly who you are. He's given you the education that He's given you. He's given you the brains that He's given you. He's given you the families, the experience, everything that you have, God has given to you. And from that ability, then God gives you opportunities that suit that ability. He doesn't give you what is not according to your God-given ability. He gives you according to the way that He's made you. And so you see, that's why you have all these differing individuals in the church who serve God in different ways, some in greater ways, some in lesser ways. And you know what that means for you? It means this, that when you look at people around you who are serving the Lord and who have amazing ability and have been given amazing opportunities to serve Him, rejoice in that. I mean, think about it. If God has given some people bigger brains and better looks and more education and greater privileges, and then from that they're able to serve the Lord in ways that you can't, rejoice. Rejoice that God has given them 5 and given you 2 talents. And be thankful for what God has given you. God's made you who you are and then gives you the opportunity to serve as He does. You know who really impresses me in this parable? You know who really impresses me? It's servant number 2. Because when servant number 2 gets his talents, he doesn't look at servant number 5 or 1 and say, how come I didn't get those talents? How come I didn't get those opportunities? How come I'm not as able as that man? He says, no, you know what? Thank you, Lord, for the 2 that you've given me. I really appreciate these. And, you know, by your help, I'm going to do work them as best as I can and serve you faithfully. But he doesn't begin to whine and gripe about the fact that he's got 2 and servant number 1's got 5. Uh-uh. He says, thank you, Lord. This is great. This is more than I deserve. And I'm going to be faithful with whatever you've given me. He's the man that really impresses me here in this parable. Right? He gives in different proportions. He gives according to your ability. And you know what? That should challenge you. And I think it should also comfort you. It should challenge you in this. What is your attitude about what you've got in this life? Are you content with what God's given you? Or do you look at those who God has endowed with great abilities, and then according to those abilities, given opportunities? Do you complain about that? Do you covet those things? Are you content with what God's given you? Because the truth is, you don't deserve anything, right? I mean, which of us deserves anything from God? God has given you what He's given you in His providence, because you can handle it. And that should comfort you. And I'll say this, that I think that there are a lot of believers who live under a terrible tyranny. And that tyranny is this. They think they're responsible for talents that the Lord has not given them. They look at servant number one, and the five talents that the Lord's given him, and they see all that the Lord, that he's doing for the Lord, all that she's doing for the Lord. And they think, you know what, I should be doing that. Well, no. Maybe God hasn't suited you to do those things. Maybe God has made you who you are to do what you can do for the Lord. And that should comfort you. Because God's plan is not to weigh you down and give you burdens that you can't handle. He's not asking you to do things that are just way over your head and beyond your ability, right? He gives you what you can handle so that you can serve Him faithfully. And that's the bottom line. He gave according to these men's abilities so that they could serve Him faithfully. Let that comfort you. Let that just take a weight off your shoulders this morning. You say, but Kieran, it sounds to me like you're encouraging and promoting mediocrity. I mean, you know, I could always do more. And you know what? You could. And I don't think you know just how much you really could do for the Lord. I just don't think that maybe you know the opportunities that really would really suit who you are and the abilities that God has given you. But I am not for a moment encouraging mediocrity in this life. What I'm encouraging is this, that you figure out who you are, who God has made you, what you're capable of. And then in light of that, that you say, how then can I serve you faithfully? Here's what I've got. Lord, here's what you've given me. And now I'm going to go out and I'm going to live for you as faithfully as I possibly can. That's exactly what I think the Lord Jesus Christ is calling you to do here, is to serve Him as best as you can with what God has given you, with what God has given you. God has entrusted to you, friends, a gift. He's entrusted to you an opportunity to serve Him. And I would just encourage you, even today, just to go and figure out who you are, what God's given you. What can you do to serve Him in your own special way, in your own unique way? We're not all going to serve in the same way, so figure out who you are and then what you can do for the body of Jesus Christ. That's what I want to encourage. What I want to discourage is this. This week I'm talking with a believer in a coffee shop. Where else? And we get talking. He says to me, Kieran, you know, I just thank God for the job that He's given me. You know, he's in some electrical company doing something or other with wires and cables. And he says to me, Kieran, you know, it's amazing the opportunities that I have to serve the Lord Jesus Christ there. And I know that it's not really about wires and cables, but it's about this ministry that I have. And I thought, on the one hand, yes, I appreciate his attitude. And we should all long to serve the Lord wherever we've given him been put and to reach people for Jesus Christ. But you know what? There's a false dichotomy there. Could it be that God made this man and put him in that job because that is how he wanted this man to serve him, exactly with cables and wires? And could it be that our service is not just about preaching Jesus Christ, though that's important, but that your service really involves where God has put you 9 to 5 through the very week that you live, and this is how God called you to serve him, wherever that is? You know, so often we think that serving God is about handing out tracts or evangelizing, and it is, but you know what? It's so much bigger than that. Serving God is wherever God has called you to work, and doing it with integrity, and doing it well, and doing it to His glory. I talk to Christians and they think that their work is a big drag. And they just see this getting in the way of serving God. And I hope you don't think that way. Whatever you're doing, I hope you don't think that way. God's calling in your life right now is to do exactly what you've been called to do. Whether that's a housewife or a student or you're in the office or you're out on the roads, whether you're selling, whether you're building, whether you're studying, it doesn't matter what you're doing. God has called you right now at this time to serve in that way. The question is, what can you do for the Lord? How can you serve Him? Because Jesus Christ has entrusted you with a talent, with an opportunity to serve Him. What can you do? How can you serve Him? That's the question. Don't say you don't got a talent. Don't say there's no opportunity. There is. Jesus says there is. So what is it? And I'm just calling you to explore that this morning and find out what that is. And do whatever it is that He's calling you to do. Alright? That's the first reason why. Because He entrusts His talents to every believer while He's gone. And secondly, it's this. Because when He comes back, He's going to settle accounts with every single believer. Every single professing believer. After a long time, we're told that the Lord, the Master, finally returns. There's no advance notice. He simply shows up. And He comes to settle accounts with His servants. And the first servant goes to Him to report all that he's done. And he's excited, right? I mean, you know when you've done a good job? You know when you're going to show the person what you've done, and you know they're going to love it, and you know the excitement that you have when that happens? Well, this servant, number one, is excited because he knows he's done a good job. And he goes to the master and says, "Master, you gave me 5 talents to take care of. I've earned 5 more in addition to that. Here you go." And the master says to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a little. I'm going to put you in charge of much now. Come and share in your master's joy." And the second servant has the exact same experience. Even though he was given less, he was just as faithful because he doubles the money, right? And he too goes to the master and says, "Master, you gave me 2. Here they are, but here's 2 more. And the master says, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a little. Come and share in your master's happiness." And so off he goes as well. And then there's a third servant, right? And this third servant comes to the master and he begins to insult the master. He says, "I knew that you were a hard man, reaping where you haven't sown." And he goes on and he begins to attack the character of the man. It's amazing, isn't it? Because there's nothing really in this parable that would indicate that this man was a hard man. I mean, quite the opposite. He'd given 8 talents out to these men. The 2 servants before him, they said nothing. I mean, you just don't get the impression that this man's a hard man. He's not a hard man. He's a gracious man. He's a good man. But he complains. "You know, you're a hard man. You know, you're hard to please. And I knew that if I put this... If I worked, that it would never ever go well, and you'd always have something to complain about, and you're cheap, and you're hard, and you're cruel, and I could never win, so I buried it, and now here it is. So take what's yours." And the master just looks at him, and he says, "You wicked and lazy servant, you could have put it in the bank." And in that day, there were banks. Simple interest. You know what? The man would have been able to give back the talent plus interest. But he was so lazy, he couldn't even be bothered to go down to the bank and just put it in and even sit back. I mean, he was that entirely lazy. And the master says, "You wicked and lazy servant." And he takes the talent from the servant and he gives it to the one with 10, and he kicks him out into outer darkness where there's a weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus says, "So the kingdom of heaven is like." Do you know, friends, that a day is coming when every single one of you is going to stand before God? And there'll be an accounting. He's going to come and settle the account. He will. He's going to want to know what you have done with the opportunities that He's given you to serve Him. He's made you how you are. And He's going to come and He's going to see, "What have you done?" And for some, it ain't going to go well. For some, it's not going to go well at all. For people who have lazed around, who have done nothing, who have done squat with the opportunities that they had to serve Him. You know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about self-centered, selfish people who thought only about me, 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 and did nothing. They never thought of anyone but themselves. They never lifted a single finger. They couldn't even bother to go to the bank to invest the talent. And Jesus says that those people will be discovered to be who they really are, hypocrites and frauds, in the church but not really in the church, just making a show of things. And that's reflected by their self-centered, self-seeking lifestyle. It's all about me, they say. Well, there's news for you, friends. If that's the way you live your life, never, ever thinking of anyone but yourself, and seeking only to satisfy yourself and never serving others, you've got to know that a day's going to come when you will stand before God Almighty, before Jesus Christ, the Master and the Lord, and it ain't going to go well for you. In fact, the Word of God says that you'll be cast into hell. That's what the Word of God says. Did you hear that this morning, friends? And I need to emphasize that in the strongest possible way I can. You know, we can just kid ourselves. We can kid ourselves into thinking that we are the people of God. But I'm asking you, what are you doing for Jesus Christ? What are you doing for Him? Look at your life. Are you doing what you do for Jesus Christ? Are you doing what you do to bring glory to His name? Are you taxing yourself and spending yourself for Him? Because you see, if you're not, that tells you something about who you really are. And about what's important to you. And what's not important to you. And I would just say, friends, the last thing you want on that last day is to have Him stare at you and say, "You wicked and lazy servant. You complete fraud. You liar." No arguments will bear up on that day. No excuses will cut it. There will only be the frightening and horrible malediction. "Wicked and lazy servant." You don't want that. You don't want it. And this passage is designed to frighten you. I believe that. If you're being lazy and wicked, this passage is designed to frighten you. And to move you, I believe, to come to Jesus Christ today and say to Him, "I am lazy and I am wicked. And I know that if you were to come today and you were to settle accounts, that I'd be in big trouble. Because I've only ever lived for myself." If that's you, then I want to this morning introduce you to a man, to a person named Jesus Christ. And just say, you come to Him today and you just repent of your sin, of your laziness and your wickedness. And roll up your sleeves and get ready to work for Him. And you won't have to fear that last great day. That day when He comes to settle accounts. You need to know that. But you know, friends, there's good news for those of you who are serving. There's good news for those of you who are laboring and who are seeking and striving to serve Him with all of your heart. Because there's a benediction upon those kinds of people, where He says to them, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And isn't that the benediction that you want? Isn't that what you want God to say to you on the last great day? "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. Come and share in your master's happiness."
wouldn't it be worth it? Friends, wouldn't it be worth it? Just to give all that you've got in this life, serving Him. And taking advantage of the opportunities that He gives you to serve Him. Wouldn't it be worth it? On the last great day, just to hear that benediction ringing. You've been faithful. And I'm pleased with what you've done. Does that discourage you? You know, sometimes I think that when we look at our service and the things that we do, we often see the defects in them, don't we? And we wonder, how on earth will this benediction ever be pronounced on my service? Friends, I would remind you of this one great truth, that everything that you do, all the service you render to Him, is all mediated through Jesus Christ. And as it is mediated through Jesus Christ, it is received by God as though Jesus Christ Himself did it, as absolutely perfect, without fault. You see, there's where the confidence comes in. There's where the assurance and the confidence and the encouragement comes as we serve Him. Not that our service in and of itself is so wonderful and so great, but that as it's mediated through Jesus Christ, it's received as perfect and beautiful and blemish-free and perfect. And God is pleased with it. And I want you to remember that, friends, lest your hearts grow weary and discouraged as you serve Him. Because you know the limitations of your service. And you know how you fall short in this, don't you? It all goes through Christ. And that's why on the last day, He will say to us, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a little, and now I'm putting you in charge of much." The only thing meager, friends, about our service in God's eyes, believer, is this. It's what it is compared to what it will be in glory. Isn't that true? I don't know what that amounts to. I know this, though, that there will be service to do in the kingdom of glory. I don't know what that is. But I know it will be great. I know it will be wonderful. I know that no longer we will serve with that weariness and the struggle and the doubts and the discouragements that we often do experience in this life. I know that on that day, those things will be gone and we'll be able to finally serve God with a completely undivided heart and for His glory alone. You know what I think? I think that in light of the fact that He's gone away and entrusted every single professing believer with an opportunity to serve Him, and in light of the fact that He's going to come back and settle accounts, and in light of the fact that His benediction will ring over your work throughout eternity, I think that it's entirely worth it today and in this life to serve the Lord as faithfully as we possibly can. To do whatever God has called you to do to His glory and to the best of your ability. And I pray, friends, that on the last great day when He does come and settle accounts, I pray with all my heart that every single one of you will receive that benediction. Well done, good and faithful servant. May that be true of you. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we pray that this word would not return void. Pray that it would accomplish its purpose. And Lord, that purpose will be the strengthening of your people to serve you wherever you've called them to do that. We pray, Lord, that this word would make a difference in the lives of your people, that it wouldn't fall to the ground. But Lord, that your Holy Spirit would strengthen, cause this word to abide in these hearts, that we would all be ready to go out of here and look for opportunity to serve you. Lord, help us to be faithful. Faithful with the trust you've given us, wherever you've given it to us. Lord, we pray we would keep our eye on the last and great day. That we would keep our eye on that great second coming. And that all that we do, Lord, we would do remembering that we don't just live in this life. That we live for a purpose, and that we live for a destiny. Father, I pray that you would remind us of these truths. That you would seal them to our hearts and our minds this morning. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.